Psalm number 2. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for you have gathered us again. We appreciate that you are the one that's pouring your spirit into us until we become exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for another encounter of such a transaction this morning. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
And because we know you are doing this for us, we declare as follows.
Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Let's take our seats. Let's quickly dash into the teaching for this morning. We'll take our text, our Bible reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. It's a long reading we are going to have. I just want to enjoy the reading. I'm reading all of this, and now bring out one verse. All right? That one verse will be the foundation for our discussion this morning. We are looking at the fullness of faith. And when we say fullness, please, I need to say it again and again. Faith as a concept is intangible. That is, you can't touch it. You can't see it. It's like love. It's like honor. Do you understand? These things, they are inside your heart. Okay? And now, when the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful. In fact, I heard somebody teaching about it. That doesn't mean that the heart of man can be deceived. It means that the heart of man constructs deception against the owner of the heart. I don't know whether I get the point. When it says deceitful, I mean, your heart can tell you a lie. It can tell you something is there when it is not there. So many people will profess their own faithfulness, but a faithful person who can find. So you see, it's very easy for people to say something about themselves, but who truly has it? It's interesting that even that person may not know, because the heart is deceitful. I've seen, it's an interesting story. Many years ago, the story I'm telling you is over 30 years. I was in a public transport. We were moving from Ado Ekiti, all right, to Ikare. That's in Ondo State. Then they were all in the same state. Now there are two states. Now the road we're using was not a very busy road. Now as we're leaving, there was a robbery in one major factory there. And the thieves beheaded a guard. So the discussion was going on in the public transport. The driver was saying, man, how could human beings be so wicked?
God knows I can never do such a thing. You kill another human being and behead him. He kept on talking. And I think that's a very honorable thing to say. It's very bad to kill somebody. It's very bad to behead somebody. So we're going on the way. Now, I mentioned something to you earlier, that the road we're using, all right, was not very busy, okay? So as we're going halfway through our journey, it's a two-hour drive, a little more than 2 hours. A group of guys stopped. It's a commercial vehicle, so they stopped the driver. I think he stopped for something, or they begged him to stop. And they negotiated with him. It was what we call a station wagon, a 504 station wagon, all right? So they had some space, 3 rows of seats. So they were traveling to another part of what is now Ekiti State, but Ekiti. But they didn't have anybody to take them. Didn't they have public transportation? So they negotiated with our driver that, please, when you finish dropping your passengers where you're going, could you return and take us to where we are going? Of course, they're going to pay. They're going to hire him. So the man reasoned and said, it's a bit far. I mean, look at the timing. Maybe I had more than an hour to go in the journey. And then he would drop us, then turn back. So he said, please, make sure you wait for me. Because they may start looking for another vehicle. And then when he comes back, it'll be an empty, you know, just lost effort. So they swore that they'll wait for him. Why not? They're going to wait. He shook his head and said, make sure you wait too. They said, why not, sir? We wait. They were almost taking an oath that they will wait. So those of us in the vehicle said, no, this is business. You don't do like that. Make them deposit part of the money. Do you understand? Pay half of the money. So if you were to come back and they were not there, well, you've not lost so much. The business is gone, but at least you've covered your costs. Well, so he didn't listen to what he kept on driving. Ah, so say, you know, you kind of feel like this is common sense now. He said, we should relax. He said, if he gets to where he's going, where he's dropping us, if he gets a full load to go back to where we're coming from, he will load his vehicle and blow past them. You don't get it? He just made them swear they will wait for him. Yet he was not planning to fulfill that obligation. He would if he doesn't have a choice. If he gets to where we are going, I know the way it is. For those of us, you know Nigeria, public, he had to get to the park, make sure he gets a full load and all of that. So maybe he'll go back. So he said that, no, he gets a full load. That he will just blow past them. You know, I was so grieved. Now, you know what I'm telling the story? He just shook his head that he can't kill somebody. That's what I'm telling the story. He just marveled at those who could kill. I said, you don't understand. You can kill. All you need is a little bit of incentive one, and then, no, I'm looking for another word. Drug, you know, like a little bit of coke, heroin, something else to just knock off the small, you would realize that, yeah, the small inhibition, to remove it from you. Just just one bottle of alcohol, a good concentrated level. You will kill somebody. I painted this picture for you to realize those guys were going to wait for him a minimum of 2 hours. They will have set their hopes on him. They will have forgone, you know, every other opportunity that will come, yet he was planning ab initio to disappoint them. Now, just by the way, that guy was poor. Let me tell you, he was telling a story when his car was new. Weekends, he would take his wife, his keys, they go and enjoy somewhere. I still see him struggling. He can't change his tire. His tires were bald. We'll complain. How do you put people inside? No. He has not prospered much over the years. It's because of that kind of attitude. As he said that in my hearing, I was grieved. I said, dear Lord, delay him. As we got to town, one policeman told him, stop. Next 1 hour, we were there. For nothing. And you go answered me. I said, God, this guy, you won't get away with this thing. Not while I'm in this vehicle. I still remember that very funny policeman like this. In fact, his name is stuck in my head since 92. Amen. Because the other drivers were stopping, talking to the policeman. The guy said, what nonsense is that? He made us park there. Me, I didn't bother. I'd reach where I'm going. I mean, not my home, but at least I'm not in town. Just at the edge of the town. We stood there. Almost an hour. I said, good for you. But I remember the prayer I prayed. After I said that, I said, dear Father, delay him. That these people, you go and carry them today. That fool they are looking for, you won't get it in Jesus' name. You know what? His heart deceived him that he couldn't kill. Yet, he could kill. That was why Jesus told us, if you can hate, you can kill. So even though we say, thou shalt not commit murder, say, murder is not where it starts from. It starts from hatred. It starts from, let me use the word now, that is bitter envy, bitter jealousy. There, I've seen people so jealous of others, their face will contort. I've seen it before. I look at this woman like, what's this contortion of face? Why are you talking to that woman about? You know what God said? You can kill. There was one boy that died in Abuja. You know, young boys, they hang around together. Young boys, teenagers. One of them used to form, you know, flex, feel. So the rest felt that, you're always feeling good with yourself. So one day they were swimming. He began to struggle. They started laughing at him. And he drowned. In Abuja here, a few years ago. Nobody could understand. You are with your friends. They all could swim. There were like four or five of them. One of them was struggling. And they saw him struggling and they were laughing. Oh, Shebi, you are the big boy now. Oh, yeah, now rescue yourself now. And they watched this boy drown. In Abuja, nobody has bothered to pay attention. They are all big boys. Five of them. Yet, one of them drowned because his friends were envious of him. When Jesus said, if you say, I don't kill, but you hate, you can kill. Last time we talked, that's why we talked about righteousness that what? Surpasses. That's why we talked about righteousness that surpasses. That's not just enough that you don't do something. Jesus said, look, inside your heart, matter day. And that when we're talking about righteousness that surpasses, we don't mean, you know, the way it was taught is that, you see, in Christ Jesus, the righteous, the Pharisees, theoretical teachers. I passed through that stage. Every little boy passes through it. Especially when you are zealous for the Lord. The Greek word for redemption is ex agorazo. Agora in the Greek, it means market. So you see, ex agorazo is when you go to extract somebody from the slave market. Hallelujah. See, when I see preachers do it on TV, like, I laugh. You know, sorry, I don't know you. I'm just talking generally. I laugh. See, bro, we don't need the Greek. Tell us the English. It's English we speak. You only allow the Greek teachers to bring out the Greek when necessary to solve an issue. Right now, you don't need it to solve it. Just tell us the meaning of redemption is to buy back. It's fine enough. Whether I will buy it from the mountaintop, the marketplace, or inside the kitchen, as long as we buy. Most importantly, what does it imply in my practical life today? Theoretical teaching. You see adulterers and liars say, Jesus has died for you. Sin, there's no sin in your life. You, Oga, there's no sin in your life. Wait till Jesus comes back. Because people lie to themselves with what I call, you know, theoretical, abstract Christianity. Christianity is very practical. So when Jesus says your righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees, he doesn't say, you know, we are made righteous in Christ. The Pharisees were made righteous by the law. Praise God. When I hear those things, I say, oh, Baba, Joko, sit down. That was not what Jesus meant. What he meant is that Pharisees only are careful not to murder. Righteousness that surpasses me, not only will you not murder, you will not hate. The laws of Moses could be observed and enforced from observation. That is, you could see somebody commit adultery. That's all Moses could do. But you couldn't see him lost in his heart. So the righteousness that surpasses, let the Pharisees and Sadducees be concerned about who commits adultery. We go beyond that. Adultery does not start. They told that concerned that woman, say, we caught her in the very act. It doesn't start with the act. How did David's adultery start? How did it start? With the very look. You get my point? Which germinated the seed in his heart, conceived, then he bore fruit when he took Bathsheba. So Jesus said, wait. Let's not start till you grab Bathsheba. If the thought comes to your heart, start dealing with it there. That is righteousness that surpasses. Not that Jesus has made me righteous, then I live recklessly. No. You have not yet believed if you are living recklessly. You are deceived that you believe. What was I saying? These things are abstract. So, the only way you can know whether they are there or not is the effect they produce outwardly. So, the Bible talks about the labor of love. Do you understand? So, if I love, it will produce what? Labor. I will go out of my way. Let me tell you something. Anybody that's not willing to inconvenience himself, herself for you, does not love you. Loving only by mouth. If you do things that are only convenient, it's not love. There's no labor in it. Oh, love is known by labor. It's not convenient, but I will do it. I normally don't like to do it, but I will do it. It's not an unrighteous deed. It's going to help you. It will mean I'll wake up earlier and sleep later, spend more money, but at least it will solve a problem for you. Love has what? Labor. Hope has patience. If indeed, the Bible calls it patience of hope. If indeed you are hoping, you are looking at God to produce something for you, we will see you let go of so many opportunities that other people will grab at, because they don't fit the righteousness of God in your life. So, God says, I will make you rich. You see the goods of Melchizedek, of the king of Sodom. And he said, no. If I take this, the king of Sodom will say, I made Abraham rich. No, I need to be able to say, it's God that made Abraham rich. So even though legally, I had the right to the goods, I let it go. Why? Patience of hope. Patience is practical. You see things, you let go of because you are waiting for something. You will let go of, see, impatience is a sign of lack of faith. When you hear things like a bird in hand is what two in the bush, it's pure unbelief. If that bush belongs to God, a bird in hand is not worth 20. That is like, in fact, 20 birds in hand is not worth two of God's bush birds. It's okay if you are not talking about hope in God. If your hope is in God, you will let go of so many opportunities. People will be wondering, are you all right? Why did you take that? For example, I'm a woman. I'm supposed to get married. Say, it's not a serious Christian. Ah, is this one what you did, so? Yes. It's called patience of hope. I will let go of opportunities. They tell you, come and sign one funny deal. If you know, a lot of people, anyway, let me not go and go do that. Like politics. They tell you to come. You know, there's a state in Nigeria now. They are quarreling and fighting, and the whole state is in jeopardy because they say one man made an agreement. He did not keep it. And the one man said, you made. Now, I don't know the agreement. I don't like to judge things that I'm not privy to. I'm not part of the. I don't know the details. So I don't like to do that. However, if you are expecting God to help you, you want to enter political office, the agreements you should not sign. Do you follow what I'm saying? Why people sign agreements is that it is not God they are hoping in. That's it. There's a man I heard him, he was giving a testimony about his life. He was gunning for a particular federal appointment. And one big man was trying to help him. So towards the end, the big man said, okay, so when I finish, what will be mine while you are in the office? So, okay, this is what I want. The man looked and said, I'm sorry, sir. I won't be able to do that. What I can promise you is a big establishment. We do a lot of work and stuff. I will give you, your men, you understand, jobs. They do it. They get paid. I mean, contractors. Not a problem. You know, I see these people on television advising the youth. I see them. Every Christmas, they make a statement. They are giving advice to people every day. What you need is patience. Work hard. Okay? You are not a hard worker. You're a thief. Just, you know what? Sorry, fella. You know, I tell you, fella had some prophetic side to him. What he called vagabond in power. VIP. You know what he called? Very important personality. Fella said he's vagabond in power. You know, when that man used to smoke, he used to prophesy some things. You know what I'm saying? He used to come under inspiration. What inspiration? I don't know, but you know what I'm saying? But he used to utter some things. So, such an agreement. That man was in that. I had another story. This one, very serious Christian. They told him, this is what you do, this is what you do. Just sign this, that job, that appointment, massive appointment is yours. He said, no, leave me. I won't do. Now, for your information, both of these parties didn't get it though. Don't think that when you now stand, they didn't get it. They said, no. I'm sorry, I can't. Many people will sign. They enter into power, then fight starts. We can't afford that. You did not know you could not afford it. Please, let me just drop that word for you. If you're a Christian politician, don't sign agreements. Any agreement you cannot say, at least to your brethren, don't bother. Of course, people will say that our community, we must get this. Hey, that's not a big deal. I mean, the law allows that. You can tell you get my point that you should bring power to our community. You can agree to things like that. We need scholarship for our people. I mean, what is wrong with those agreements? I mean, the current governor here, he came to my neighborhood to campaign. That I wasn't there then, but they told me later. He called the neighborhood association. Talk to them. What do you guys need? And he promised them a certain number of kilometers of road in our neighborhood. Within 6 months, he had built it. When he came into power. That's a fair agreement. Do you get my point? It wasn't, we're not doing, I mean, it's open. He said, look, this is our neighborhood needs to develop. The roads, the network, it's not good. He said, no problem. He gave the number of kilometers. And within 6 months, we saw gutters, we saw vehicles, bam, bam, bam. What happened? That was what he agreed to. That's not a bad one. But to be selling the souls of men. They will not give you the power if you don't. You don't need such powers. This is how people, some people don't believe that lying gospel that you can't lose your salvation. Many Christians have entered into politics and lost it. Many have entered into business and they've lost it. They are the ones that now go and start believing that you can't. Because how do you let the conscience survive? It's called ego defense. They have to keep their brains, you know, sane. You'll be making deals that God didn't sign up on. I'll read this scripture again, quickly. Open to the book of Zechariah chapter 1. Zephaniah, sorry. I'll just read from verse 4 to verse 6. God says, so I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Listen to this. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And I will cut off, he said, the names of the idolatrous priests along with the priests. And those who bow down on the tops of the host of heaven. And those who bow down and swear to the Lord and yet swear by Milcom. And those who have turned back from following the Lord. And those who have not sought the Lord or inquired of him. Those he said he will cut off. Those who have turned back from following the Lord. Are you seeing that? Now if you read that, Romans 11. He said, behold then the kindness, in verse 22, and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. If anybody says a Christian can't be cut off, tell him, explain this scripture. Let me not sit on that. Let me sit on the message. If you don't sign the agreement and you don't get it, not a problem. It's not everything you will get in life. And like we were saying the other time, what you will get when you have gotten something, what will come to you, whether you have peace, whether you have prosperity, whether you have, you know, calmness of soul, whether you'll be happy. We said the other day, of course, the man has popularized the saying again. The richest man in the world, he said to us that those who sell money cannot buy happiness. They knew what they were saying. So whether you'll be happy when you've gotten the thing. The Bible tells us that it depends on how you enter. Do you get my point? Yeah. In Psalm 118, he told us, enter with through the gates of God. He said, open to me the gates of righteousness. The righteous will enter through it. He said, that is the gate of God. And when the Lord Jesus will talk about it later in Matthew chapter 7, he said, make sure you use the narrow road, the straight gate, the one that you have to squeeze through. He said, few people enter by that. And I explained, in fact, let me just go back, use that as a kind of review before we start on today's own fully. I explained that why God delays in bringing things to us is that he's forming us into somebody that can receive what he wants to bring and who can handle it and survive in faith and peace and joy and gladness with that thing with the person. So God gives you a business that's currently the turnover is, let's look for a level that does not pay VAT. Less than 100 million. Yes, that's the new tax law in Nigeria. Say if your turnover is less than 100 million a year, don't worry about some things. Filing, that's charging VAT for your services and all of that. Your turnover is still small. Now, God gave you a business that's not even qualified by Nigerian standards to pay VAT, yet you can't sleep. And you are saying, Lord, when will I be like Dangote? God said, hey, you be like who? Dango who? He said, let me tell you about the person you want to be like. A few years ago, only him, 49% of all the solid minerals tax, royalties, I mean, duty that the federal government collected in the whole country, only him paid it. 49, which is essentially half.
Yes, essentially.
Half. You are not even paying VAT yet. You can't sleep. VAT. And he said, the words of the wicked is here. God said, I beg you. Stay where you do. Maintain your level. I don't want bury person. Prosperity can be a curse to you. A man described how $1 billion, I saw the video, how $1 billion can ruin your life. But you know what? It can ruin some people's lives. Some of these men I mentioned, it can ruin their life. An average person, it will ruin, the person will die. Most of that money will be used for burying the person. But there are people you put $1 billion, you come back next day, they have so used that $1 billion properly, they are waiting for more. And their lives haven't changed. So a man like Warren Buffett amassed all the billions on the earth, lived in the same house for over 40 years. Yeah, small house. My house is bigger than his. He will use one car for 10 years. He doesn't feel anything about it. But you see small boys, once they give them government contract, they don't go buy motor. And when they come to church, they expect to sit in front. Because they give pastor an offering that they think pastor has not seen before. Some pastors have seen bigger than that. It's just that they don't make noise about it. They've used up the money and they continue what they have. You thought that if they see that kind of money, they will have left this town. And God says, see. That's why, guys, let's take it easy. I can't bless you more than this. Stay your level. If you want to increase insight first. then I can increase you outwardly. So what God does is that he's increasing you inside. Abraham went through a lot of affliction because God said, the glory that I want to bring upon you. See, a man that can stop God from doing what he wants to do through discussion. Not everybody on this earth can do that. For, you know, yesterday, please join us online on Fridays. We have very nice discussions. We normally sit down and discuss. But those of you who join online, I'm sure you enjoyed yesterday, I'm sure. We're talking about, are we servants or sons of God? Some people fight over the fact that we are not sons, we are not servants, we are sons. We try to establish again from scripture that even Jesus was called the servant of God. And none of the apostles ever called themselves sons of God. None. The only time they seem to personalize the sonship is when they include themselves in the body of Christ. Now are we, John will say, children of God. But I, son of God, you never heard them say it. Is Paul a born slave of Jesus Christ? Peter, a born slave of Jesus Christ. Same thing with James. They call themselves born slaves. So we established that there are two kinds. Again, of course, these are not new doctrines. We established again that there are two kinds of sons. There are prodigal sons and serving sons. And their prodigality is automatic if you don't deliberately commit yourself to serving. No, it's automatic. Many people you are angry with that they make some foolish decisions. That's why they make the foolish decisions. They did not ahead commit themselves to truly following the Lord no matter what. You will be prodigal. See, a lot of people don't know that these things are spiritually determined. When you are in life, forces are fighting over you. You are in the garden. Somebody is coming to the garden to try to get you out of the place through negotiations, through deception, through enticement. Things will not go. See, listen, you are a married man, you are a married woman. There is a spirit that has been deployed to ruin the home. See, you don't get the point. His job is scatter those people, scatter them. If you scatter them, it will be good for our kingdom. Now, so what I was saying, that there is a spirit, all right, that goes out to spoil things for, especially when you're a believer. Your business does not collapse randomly. Somebody comes to help you collapse. And it's not the witch in your village. Please leave that. You see, oh, another way to go now. It is not the witch in your village. It's not your auntie. Leave your auntie alone. The way she's looking at you is about anything for an auntie. It's not witch eye. It's covetous eye. And does not kill. So if you have money, give her something. Don't come and be telling me, that is when my auntie looked at me. No! It is Satan. He's called the enemy of your soul. He's deliberate about ruining everything that is important to you so that you can curse God and die. So you have to learn how to resist him. Steadfast in your faith. Where I'm going is that one of the defenses, a major defense against Satan, is that you took your life and laid it down on the altar as a servant of God. That way, you can't be prodigal. Because the prodigal spirit hangs around and has been given the authority to succeed in taking any child who's not dedicated to serving. So, that's what we tried to establish yesterday, that being a son is not exclusive to being a servant. Two of them can coexist. And indeed, freedom was given to us so we can serve with a free heart. Because that is when there is a blessing in it. Commanded and enforced serving doesn't get much blessing. But the blessing is full, complete, in one who serves deliberately, consciously, even though he could have walked away. Do you understand that? So God gave us freedom and said, without freedom, don't serve Satan, don't serve the flesh, don't serve the world, serve God. Say, let my people go that they may serve. The purpose of freedom is so you can serve. In Egypt, they were being compelled to serve other things. They were being enticed to serve other things. Come out of them and be separate. Then you can serve effectively. Freedom is given for service. Then somebody sent in a question, which is why I'm talking about this. Say, what does it mean then to be a friend of God? A son that serves becomes a friend. That's a summary. We don't want to teach about it now. A son that serves becomes a friend. At the end of the day, after disciples have been with him for a long time, say, now I call you friends. You will have been a servant for a long time before you are called a friend. A servant that has taken hardship. Like Paul said, suffer hardship with me. Endure hardship like a true soldier. A servant who has taken the beating as he's serving the Lord. Even though he's a son. Yet, you know, that is very powerful. Even though he's a son, that word yet. Many of us who come to a life, we just want to son. We want to son everything. As a son of God. I think one pastor came to town. He got to the airport. They brought a car to car. He said, this car is too small. He said, go and tell your pastor, I will not leave this airport if you can't get me a better car. And he stood there till they quickly, whether they stole it or hired it, but they brought a big car worthy of his status. And he got to church and bragged about it. The glory is the shame. You know, there are things, even if we do, let's just laugh about it. We can't brag about it. We can't laugh about it. Because it's always a plus when you take hardship for the sake of Christ. I told you once, I went to preach, tall reverend and I, and they were in a camp. The man who invited me, age-wise, is senior to me. He's a minister of the gospel too. He said, we have a hotel for you. I said, God, where you they stay? He said, in the camp. I said, don't they have extra bed? He said, we don't have. I said, now here we'll stay together now. I looked here. I looked myself. Go and sleep in which hotel? That is where witches start pressing you at night. normally, I'm not pressable. Do you get my point? But when you go and sleep in a place where you're not supposed to be, when the glory is in the camp, I said, no. I said, okay, now here you stay. I said, in a get light, would there be? He said, yeah, Jim will be on throughout the night. I said, good. There's a fan, there's a mosquito net. It's okay. So, tell everyone, see your room there, see my own room here. For me, it's not even a big deal. What is that? People have entered jungle. Is it the current of the past president of PFN, Francis Waluke? He said the day he made up his mind to enter into ministry full-time was when they invited a man to come and preach. He and his friends, three or four of them, they had been in a rural area, clearing grass, making a stage, and praying during the night, and doing advertisements around. Come, Jesus is coming to town. Come and get healed. Come and hear the truth. Come and be delivered. There were three or four of them. I can't remember for sure now. Now see what they were doing? They were clearing grass. They were making a platform with wood. They were praying. They were going around advertising the program coming up. It's starting in a few days. So they reasoned amongst themselves, say, with all this work we are doing, none of us will be able to preach effectively. So they say it's true. So now say, okay, go and meet this person. They told one of them to go to town and go and meet somebody to beg him to come and preach because they will be too tired or doing the organizing. So the man came and he was carrying a jacket, carrying a suit. No, they're young boys. They were campus students that time. It didn't cross their mind to host the guest minister. That one thought he was a guest minister. So when they got there, where were they sleeping? They had mattresses inside the classrooms in the school that they were using the field. So they made a provision for a mattress for the man in one corner. He said, when the man came, he said, where will I sleep? That was when he realized that. He said, sir, this is where we are staying. So the man asked, I was at the minister's meeting when Waluke was teaching us long ago. Said the man asked him, where will I hang my suit? And then I think, hang your suit. Why did you come with a suit anyway? He said, the man carried his bag, crossed the road, entered the vehicle, and left. Wale ran into the bush and cried. He said, that day, he realized that God didn't have people. What? He knew what they had suffered. You want it just to come? You ain't clearing grass with us. You ain't bleeding platform. You know, okay, just come, preach. We'll do the praying. You don't even need to pray. They were not sleeping, no. They would do all that during the day at night. You know the way we are now, we Pentecostals, we join hands. Oh, everyone would say, even if we're not planning to come. See, guys, I wasn't planning to go to Oshobo today, but I'm just saying that, you know, figuratively. He said, these boys will not, if we don't go, only rest, they will be riots. One day he said he ran into the bush and wept and realized that God didn't have people. So that was the day he entered ministry. Before they were just doing campus things. So after that, he told the Lord, no, no, no. It was not, whether God called him or not, was no longer important. God, you need me. Forget this calling thing. thank you. Here I am. Send me. So as soon as he graduated from school, I beg, let me go and fill in the spaces that these men are refusing to fill. Suffer hardship. So, I'm talking about friendship. You know, I got into talk friends. Why do people become friends? You don't become a friend because you learn scripture. You can become an orator. You can become a quoter. You know, I don't mean quoter with an A, but quote scripture with an ER. You can be quoting up and down. You can be like Jenny in his days, that could recite, I was told, the whole New Testament. You'll be able to quote it, but you don't become a friend like that. It's that thing you have when it has taken you through hardship, through adversity, and you decide to stand. Many of us don't know the kind of person Abraham was. Ordinary city in Nigeria, there's no constant road. So is road constant? There's no constant power. No pipe-borne water flowing constantly. And the roads have pothole. And you know what? So Christians, listen to me, everybody. I don't care where you're listening from. Stop being shameless. Such things are too mundane to dictate the direction of your life. I remember the day Tall Reverend and I were going to Onitsha to go and preach. Remember that day? He was driving, I was sitting beside him. I heard, Tow! I thought the car was backfiring, you know? Then suddenly I saw people lying on the floor in front. Then it dawned on me. This was before those headsmen thing. That time, years ago, over 10 years ago. That's when it hit me that the man, the Tau Tower's head, then I turned and saw him. It was two rounds that he fired at us from a shotgun. I said, what? I just looked at him. He was on my side. You know, we had driven through their midst. I said, Tall Reverend, turn. One guy ran at us. I said, run him over. If he crossed there, crush him. Stain my car with his blood. That guy lifted his gun again. I grew up with a double-barrel gun. My dad had one. I said, Yanka, don't mind him. He can't fire. Go. Now, you see where I'm going with the story. So we ran back. And packed. And waited for the security people to say the road is clear. And we went back to the road again. Do you know why? We're going somewhere to preach. They were waiting for us. The peril of robbers, Paul called it. After we were sure everything was clear, we hit the same road again. I went to go and preach. I don't know whether I get where I'm going. Then that time he said, this country, you know, when you talk, you know, I just say that you're shallow. The person saying this country is bad, he's not building anything. See, all he's waiting is for somebody to pay him a salary. He's not trying to contribute anything. He's not sacrificing. And that salary is trying to get the highest possible. And he's telling you that there's no constant power. And you wonder, the people that should complain about constant power, they are those who are making gari. It will make their process easier. They're the one who are sewing clothes. It will make their process easier. You are doing nothing apart from running commentary. And you are telling me there's no constant power. For what? I'm not saying constant power is not good, but you don't have enough to complain about. I mean, it's not doing anything for you. Those who need it are not talking. They are going out of their way to get things done. People are too shallow. That's the point I'm making. They can't take hardship. You cannot become a friend of God if you can't take hardship. God said, in the fullness of affliction, I've chosen you. It is inside trouble that he chooses people. You think Abraham became a friend of God because everything was nice and easy? No. It was because his life was comfortable. Everything was so good. God said, yeah, come, get up. Abandon everything. Come walk with me. That's how you become a friend of God. As people making choices because they say, where this country is going. Do you know where you are going to is going? Stop telling me it's where the country is going. You don't know where anything is going. People become friends of God simply because they obey him. They walk with him constantly, even through affliction. Through the valley of the shadow of death, they keep walking. They don't abandon walking and obeying him and serving him, even though it appears difficult. You don't become a friend when you are willing to turn around just anytime things are rough. No. Friends of God, they stick with him. He deliberately passes through them through those difficult times. What is he doing? He's purifying them. Do you know? It was a surprise to me when I found that the apostles called persecution, purification of the saints. Did you hear that? The apostles. Do you know when he was talking about, is it Paul that was saying, yes, that who is it that is a bastard who does not, the father does not discipline, that you endure discipline, that's Hebrews, right? Yes. Do you know, he was talking about affliction. Sorry, he was talking about persecution. He said, endure it. It's the discipline of the... Who would have thought? When I hear people complain, see, please, you can be watching us from different parts of the country, of the world, please. Let me talk to Nigerians. That's where I live. So I'm sure if you're an African, in fact, you're a natural human being, they are like that, all right? Natural people are like that. And it's very painful when Christians behave like mere men, okay? When I hear people in Nigeria complain about the country, I'm amazed that God has not turned. Please, maybe you should go and live in Sudan. Then you'll appreciate the peace that you have. I was reading the news yesterday. In one particular town in Sudan, people have run to go and shelter. Whether it is the army or the rapid support forces, they call them, they sheltered indiscriminately, and 1,000 persons died. And this was last year. Well, see, Sudan crisis doesn't make the news anymore. Nobody talks about it, but it's not gone. If a woman analyzed the problem, that some people say that the West, there's nothing they will gain in Sudan. Say, truly, they have nothing to gain. But more importantly, that they are tired. When people finish killing each other, maybe it will take you 10 years. When nobody's remaining again, we'll come back. You've killed aid workers. Let's forget the locals. You've killed and killed and killed. So now, and there's war in Ukraine. So who has that? Who even talks about Ukraine now? When Jeffrey Epstein is there to give us entertainment. So we have left Ukraine for now. You know, that's the war, our world news is. There was a time every morning, Ukraine, next thing Gaza. So don't think that the problem in Sudan has gone away. That's what I'm making. Let me not sit on natural things. I would have told you more things. People say, don't let Nigeria happen to you. I said, if God takes that thing literally in your mouth, you just died 6 years ago. Did you hear what I said? There are people who say it, and God said, this guy was supposed to die 6 years ago. I allowed something in Nigeria to keep him alive till today. He now said, Nigeria should not happen. Say, okay, remove Nigeria from his life. That's it. The guy wants to go abroad with his certificate. God is saying that I gave him through the federal government. I was talking to medical students that I said, you are studying medicine for free. Then somebody said, free. I said, what is it? My friend lives in Texas. He said, bank, you see. He said, when you see us finish residency, it's my classmate. When he finished residency, he bought himself a BMW. As soon as he started to work in Texas, he bought a BMW. He told him that he has bought this. You know, we're just talking about it. So he said that when you see us buy, he said, when you see Europe, he said, young doctors buy European cars. He said, it's Nigerians that try that nonsense. He said, the Americans that we met here said they can't date. He said, they have to keep driving Toyotas for the next 10 years. He said, who will pay their loan? Then somebody said, let Nigeria not happen to you. Sorry, please, guys, just give us a minute. Let's talk to Nigerians a bit. You go to America today. If the doctor is black, 3/4 of the chance is Nigerian or the son of a Nigerian. That is first, second generation immigrant. 3/4. Overall, Houston Chronicles, I think a few years ago, calculated it. As a group, they are the most educated group. They beat all the whites from any background. As the most educated group of persons in America are Nigerians. You know why? They got the first degrees down here, almost free of charge. In our mind, it's a right. And then we're not. But like I said, please, just have just a minute for us to talk to ourselves a bit. It's the attitude of being ungrateful to anybody. I mean, it applies to anybody in the world. God has been good to people. All they have to do is grumble. Sometimes what some of us call hardship. And I once in a while asked my wife, have you ever heard me grumble about life? I said, no, I'm too grateful. Honestly, I'm too grateful. I'm habitually too grateful. My gratitude towards life generally, it's a habit. Sometimes I'm praying for somebody who is sick and I'm wondering, God, why is it not me? I'm not trying to be sick. I'm just wondering why. How did you make the selection? Maybe the person is sinned. I said, no, this person was born like this. There are people who didn't have the opportunity to do anything. The disciples of Jesus had to ask, who sinned that this one should be born blind? So I have eyes, I'm wondering, why? I'm too busy with that to be complaining about what I don't have. I give the Lord glory. You can tell my children are all abroad. That's your problem. What I just keep thinking of is that I'm not saying it's wrong, but I've never had to pray before I pay any of my children's school fees. Any special prayer. You get my point? I'm too grateful about it. He was see, let me just tell you so that you know. Where they will get to, has been determined. They will get there. And I don't care where you got your education from. You are not going to surpass them. See, let me just leave it there. Say, give your children an opportunity. I've taught you the word of God. Every single morning, I still lay hands on them, including Akinola as big as he is. I still prophesy. The only days I don't do that, maybe that we have to rush out of there like this early morning. But normal working day that we gather to pray, we finish praying every single morning. My hand has to go on top of their head and I speak the word of God. Say, so give your children an opportunity. Are you out of your mind? I've taught them to read, write, give them opportunity to serve. And every day I teach them the word of God. Opportunity. See, with this one, even if Satan recruited all the angels, his demons from hell, and focuses on only you, you can't fail. Opportunity. I will not use natural methods to give my children any opportunity.
If my son says, my name is Abraham, and I pray and I confirm that it is true, that God said, leave her and start moving. Brethren, moving, he shall move. What is most important? He said, I have sustained you with grain and with new wine. The blessing of the Father. That is what is most important to. What are you talking about? Because of that spiritual power, this world will cooperate to establish God's destiny for him. They have to. The sun will cooperate. The moon will cooperate. The depths will cooperate. When he blessed Joseph, what did he bless him with? He blessed him with the, how did he say it again? The water, the deep, the blessings of the world above, and then the ones of the watery depths below. That's the blessing of anyone favored of the Lord, he said. What are we talking about here? Say, give your children an opportunity. I might be sweating and stressing. Turn things that are not supposed to be prayer points into prayer points. I'm there to help some people. That's how I got into that. Don't we just be, you know, needlessly choking? You are not swimming, yet you are drowning. I mean, do you think about it? You're going on the road. Your head is above water. There's no flood. Then suddenly you go and buy a big basin, pour water inside, and put your head inside. I don't know what's going on. I'm just drowning here. Come on, lift your head out of that place. You are the one that sank your head into, A lot of people are drowning, yet they are not inside the waters. They are inside a water bath, in a bathroom. They are drowning. Why? They now decide to lie down there. Get up. Leave that place. Do you know what I was saying? Huh? Okay, don't worry, it's not your fault. I've confused all of you very well, don't worry. It's my fault. What I'm just saying is that, okay, yeah, I know what I'm saying. So something people call trouble. It's not even trouble. That's what I was trying to say. And they are complaining. You have never seen trouble. And I was explaining that, see, why I don't complain is I'm too grateful. That's why I just giving examples. I'm too grateful. Too much to be grateful for. Too much. But even if you had difficulty, I said the difference, yeah, and I know where I went to all of that. Even if we have difficulty, please, Christians, one miracle place to another is not your way as a believer. See, those miracles you see in crusades, they are for unbelievers. Yes. If you go and check it, no time to go into details about it. Philip went to Samaria. And they were all believing him. Seeing the miracles that he did. They saw miracles, they believed. In Israel, they saw miracles, didn't believe anything. And Jesus said, they won't believe. He said, why? He said, there are other principles. Let me just summarize it. There are other principles working in their lives. For amongst the Israelites, at that time, the Jews in Judea at that time, they had to believe John. They had to have moved with John. They had to have gone for the baptism of John. That did not apply to the Gentiles, the Samaritans. It did not apply to them. They just saw, Philip just came, papa, miracles happen here and there. So they had to believe because of that miracle. God didn't give that privilege to the Jews. You had to believe because of Moses. If you did not believe Moses, you couldn't believe Jesus Christ. If you didn't believe Moses, you didn't believe John. If you didn't believe John, you didn't believe Jesus. And he sealed sealed their destiny. So the bridegroom has come. The door has been shut. The time of preparation, ringing the bell around, was to listen to John. So John came with the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You did not listen to John, you were doomed. As a Jew. Where I'm going, the principles, they differ. They differ. The principles differ. I don't want to sit on that. So when you see them gathering, ringing bell, crusade, you're a Christian. Stop running up and down. That is not where your own, that's not where your own, a believer, a true believer, that's not where your miracle comes from. Will you get a miracle? Of course. Hardly comes as a miracle, but a good thing will happen. Most times, it's gradual. Yeah, most times, it's gradual. The Bible calls it fatness. The yoke is destroyed as the neck is getting fatter and fatter. That is, the principle is that of spiritual development. What God is doing with affliction in your life is not the same time. Unbelievers are under bondage. Affliction of the devil. But you, you're under the discipline of the Lord. There's a world of difference. So what you do is you take your scriptures, you keep walking with God. In the midst of trials, in the furnace of affliction, you say, God, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. Like Jonathan was doing us to pray just now. It's a prayer you must pray. God, open my eyes. That which I see not, teach thou me. It's constant repentance, constant change. That is what makes a Christian enter into destiny. Constant repentance, constant change. There are things that are legitimately, they are right for you now, it seems. One light will come to you. Suddenly, we talked about that some meetings ago, when talking about the effect of light. Light will change it, then you will change. That is, light will suddenly expose darkness that's locking inside you. You repent of the darkness, you pray to God, he cleanses you of all unrighteousness. That's it, you move to another level. Then one day you look back, even allergies will have disappeared. I went to speak to some students in SU Teaching Hospital a few days ago. They invited me for what they call the mentorship program. Two of us spoke, a woman and me. The woman, what she was talking about is what I want to talk about briefly. She described her life. Her father was a very influential person. I think was a senator or something. Then she married into a family of influential people. One of the former governors of Enugu was her, like her husband's either cousin or uncle or something like that. She said she and her husband, they had, you know, problems. She said they had all kinds of issues. Until she observed another woman and moved closer to that woman. And that one began to correct her bit by bit. He said, people, before, my husband talked when I talked 10. You know, she's a firebrand. She thought that was life. Then when she saw problems, she said, now, her husband is late. He passed on some years ago. She mentioned the name of some big, big people, all right, in the society. He said, now, when I go to greet them, they are husband's people, you understand? He said, Christmas, I go with one, I kneel down, I greet. He said, they are so nice to me. Before, they were not like that, though. They were enemies. She was describing something. That how did he come to be? He said, I followed this woman and I learned from her how Christians are supposed to behave. So I noticed that she and her husband, they always looked, you know, they always calm and nice together. So, my sister, what juju are you using? You know, the kind of thing. Like you say in Nigeria, say, they must be using something. So my sister, what are you using? What did you give him to drink? That is so calm towards you like this. The woman began to, so that's what she was telling the people, that she began to learn. Like her, say, I chose Jesus Christ. And Jesus began to teach me how to talk, how to behave, how to relate with people. That's how God works miracles in our lives. We believers. He keeps instructing us, teaching us in the way that we should choose. But rather than learning, you know, during the night, early hours of this morning, a thought came to my mind. And I feel like saying it quickly. Because many people are going from one prayer house to another, miracle meeting to another. Let me tell you, I will say what I want to say flat. If you are a confused believer who will not see much of God's power in your life, if you spend more time talking to God than letting him talk to you. Did you hear what I said? Let me explain. You wake up from 12 midnight, you pray constantly till 2. That's good, all right? Then you go and sleep. When do our early morning prayer rallies start? Is it 5 or 6? 5. Then you wake up at 5. You join people declaring the word of God to you. You know, prophetic word. Now, I don't mean teaching. Prophetic word, prophetic word, prophetic word. You join for 1 hour. So every day you clock in 3 hours. Now, this is what I want to tell you. If you spend less than 3 hours, 30 minutes studying the word of God and listen to people teach and preach the word of God to you, you are confused. Yeah. Please write the proportion down. I know what I said. I thought about it. I believe the Holy Spirit on my heart. Early hours of this morning. I just remembered it now. Christians spend more time listening to him than talking to him. We like, prayer, the way we call it prayer, too much. And the prayers are not effective. The words are not spirit inspired. Then when we have nothing to say, I'm sorry to say, please, listen, I think it is the Holy Spirit that just pushing me like that. When we not get to that point, we have nothing to say again. They will not claim we are speaking in tongues. You want to hear my opinion? Most of the tongues you hear, 90% of them is nonsense. It's gibberish. You can disagree. I like the fact that I'm not a small boy anymore. Are you getting my point? So there's a bit of age on my side, so I can say things that Dingwoke can't say for under 20 years. So it's do you get my point? So I thank God for it. What I'm saying is, you can disagree with me. Say, I don't agree. That's your problem. I'm telling you that 90% of the tongues you hear people speak, they are not genuine. How do I know? Don't worry about it. As of this year, my next year it might change. I only learn some things. Because too many ignorant people hide behind it. As if it's a sign of spirituality that I don't know what to say to God. You want to pray about common food. You don't know what to say to God. You don't even have serious intercessory problems in front of you. You've not taken the state. When you want to talk about the state of Benue, you have only one problem. Headsmen. Kill them. Scatter them. Is your own machine gun. You don't know what is going on there. You've not gotten on your knees. Maybe you are from that area to ask God what is going on. Let him help you speak real words that cannot be uttered because something serious is going on inside your soul. You are speaking out of anger and ignorance. Sometimes I see pastors pray. Say election is coming. When they are praying to God, most of the prayer people raise election time. I can't join. Most Christians, Father God, in the name of Jesus, you know what they are saying? This man must not come back. They are quoting all the scriptures to dispel, like scatter his election. They are not at all willing to let God do his will. And for them to ask God, what exactly do you want to accomplish in this country? The last election, most Christians who said they were praying only one prayer. And let me just tell you again, stop praying like that. God didn't give you enough insight into what he wants. And you don't know the heart of anybody to be praying that kind of funny prayer. For many people, all right, I can assure you, what was pushing them is that they were four leading candidates. And is the only, pardon me to say it like this, supposed Christian. I use the word supposed because not everybody that goes to church. We don't know. So, them you know, supposed. So, the other people are supposed Muslims. Yeah, they were. Because they are secret followers of Jesus. Are you getting my point? Yeah, Nicodemus. So, let's say, supposed Muslims, supposed Christians. So, we judge with the sin of our eyes. And said, it must be like this. Do you get it? So, when we are praying, let me just put it like this so that you understand. The prayers were null and void and of no effect. Null and void. Then I begged people. I wrote a book called Let Us Agree. That there's a way to pray and your prayer will be very effective. Stick to issues. Leave personalities out. Stick with issues. There are scriptures to cover issues. Stick with them. No, people didn't listen. So I wrote on Twitter, prophetically, I said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One of my guys saw it. He said, Oga, this is weighty. I said, I know. Why? Because I said, let's follow God. You said, no. We'll follow our own ways. I said, okay. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. I give you scripture. Let us follow God. How do you follow God? Election is coming again. Please, I'm beginning to say it. Stick with issues. Righteousness, justice. This is very important. The freedom for the propagation of the gospel. Crucial. Come to God every time and say, Lord, this is what's most important to me. What matters to me is that the gospel has a free road, justice, peace, and anyone God wants to use to execute it, God, please, lift the person up. What God wants to do, I don't know. If I tell you, no, because we are streaming, I can't give you. There are people that they've called evil in Nigeria. Eh? This man is the most wicked ruler Nigeria has ever had. When you go into the heavens and you see what God accomplished through this person's hands before he removed him in his own time, you'll be shocked. There were people here that felt they owned this country. That was the person that told them, no, you don't. They called him evil. Was the one that said, no, you don't. He didn't even know that's what he was doing. He was setting a personal score. Again, I won't mention names. There are presidents you did not like when they were in power. Again, when you get into the heavens and you see what God used them to do. See, you know American president, President Trump. I always say that the man will be like, say, he gets quest. You know the cost quest. He does funny things. Like my brother said, Everett, your guy, your Lagos guy. He said, our guy get problem. He said, but sometimes they do some things where you go say, correct, sir. Because 2 days ago, their climate policy, he just threw the thing. He said, nonsense. What kind of policy is this? Now, some of us, we have always known, I chose to use the word known, that all those things are scam. The satanists and the humanists who believe that power belongs to mankind, they were the ones that pushed it in. It's the same people that wanted Boko Haram to terrorize us in Nigeria. They liked it. Because the more they terrorized us, the more we'll feel compelled to beg them. And when they had only one condition, which was legalizing satanism. Let's just be like that. Because read my book, Worship and Sex Control. You worship through sex, you do. So there's sexual deviance is a form of worship. So they wanted to spread the movement of evil all over the world. And Nigeria being the biggest nation, the most powerful one in Africa, the most populous and all of that, and the black race, was crucial to satanic agenda. They would rather Boko Haram destroy us than allow us fight back. Why? Because we said your agenda will not prosper. In the midst of all of that, our brother will get more, you know, God brought him as a deliverer. Now, you may not like him, but he works in our favor, bro. The guy, they give us weapon to fight. No, I'm saying all of these things. Some people you don't like. If you know what God is using them to do. I'd like to tell this to... There was one girl, they said, she talked Quran, which was a lie, whether true or lie or not, in Pakistan. First thing of Donald Trump. They're going to kill her. Donald Trump just looked them like this. Supreme Court said she didn't hear anything. Pakistani Supreme Court. Donald Trump just looked them like this. They said, no, now just family quarrel. There's no... Next thing, the girl had been packed with her family, lives in America. What are you talking about? I told the story of one pastor that was arrested for nothing, detained for 2 years, a missionary in Turkey, because Erdogan was trying to get to Golan. Golan was living in America. He wanted to use him to say, okay, give us Golan, we'll give you this pastor. Obama did nothing about it. Donald Trump, they told Donald Trump like this. He called Erdogan, are you joking? Are you joking? Come on, send the guy home, otherwise we'll turn into economic fight. And you know him, tariff. He'll just wake up, 30% tariff. See, you don't, that man, let me preach my message. But if I start talking about him, you just marvel. Say, which kind of person? Morally speaking, some of those things, humanly, on the human morals, they will look off. But anytime you see noise, you know, rock breaking and all of that, there's a sound of steel movement. The Bible calls it a sound of gentle blowing. Look behind. Something is going on. So in the midst of all the noise, there are things that God is doing. Some of them, they don't make the news. I just use them as an example to see some of the things that we Christians have enjoyed in the midst of all of this. And there's people who really didn't stay where God kept them. He deported them. We're talking about Donald Trump and America. Things like that happen in Nigeria. It's just a pity, like I said. I can say this only because the United States is not our country. If you hear some things that happen in Nigeria, and I'm not saying it now, I knew when they were happening. People are talking, this man is bad. This man. God says, see, forget all this people are saying. The real thing I'm doing, you don't know. That Christians have a foothold in Abuja. This is doing. You wouldn't believe it. When you want, see, election is coming. When you want to pray, please don't make the mistake we made last time. Pray on what? Issues. Use the scripture. Leave personalities out. Close your eyes. And say, God, I have come to you. I don't know the heart of anybody. I have come to you crying on behalf of this nation where you have planted me, where you have planted your church, where you have planted us. These are the very things we want. And whichever way you want to do it, we are here. I mean, pastors misbehaved last time. It was embarrassing. Showing people where to vote, how to vote, who to vote for. In church, like I said to them that time, it's in my book, Let Us Agree, still on the website. I said, you don't understand. You remove the freedom of choice from believers. Their brain shouldn't work anymore. Meanwhile, you have high-ranking church people scattered in all the political parties. I mean, leave God to do what he wants to do. You don't know what he is doing. Many people are shouting that time. You know the party they are in now? Did you see Reno and Mokri when they were interviewing? And you're letting such people influence your prayer. Hey. Christians, please, I beg you. I've told you, leave all these politicians. I've warned you, leave them alone. They know what they are doing. They are not, see, I'm not saying they are evil people. They just see the way their politics is. Just leave them. When you want to pray, don't bring their matter into your prayer. Bring things that are superior to them. Yeah, things that are superior to them. Please don't desecrate the temple when it comes to prayer. That's the point I'm making. Even if you're a politician, leave the politics out. When you enter, please go and read my book, Let Us Agree. When you enter the temple, grab every, that is, a man comes from ADC. Is that still PDP? They say, okay. So whether you are in APDP, you are in APC, you are in ADC, there's the Labour Party, right? Oh, yeah, okay. NMP? Is that the NMPP? Eh? That one has gone. That's it there. Okay. So whichever party you are in, when you come to church, brethren, we must all be agreed. That's what Christianity is about. See, your parties, take it outside. When you are coming to church, remove your party garb, hang it outside. And then, can't brethren even see it? Can't you see the people themselves? They are coming into agreement. I don't know, Nigerian Christians, please open your eyes. The people you were fighting with for and, you know, look at Enugu where we were at that time. Everybody first, oh, I love Enugu. Who? Praise God for my city. For my state, everybody first moved to PDP from Labour Party within the 6 months after the election. 2 years after, all of them moved to APC. Don't worry, that last time we were playing, we have learned our lessons. Me, I learned long ago. I'm not there amongst those who are just learning it. What I wrote that time, I'm still writing it to today. At least now, events have shown to you that I knew what I was saying. Because I was speaking by the Spirit. Please go back, read that book. It's on our website. Let us agree. You see the things I'm saying, I said inside there. Get up and say, Lord, this is what is important to us. And when I say important to us, I don't mean the one they lied to you in your village meeting. No. I mean real things based on scripture. Which number one, I mean, you don't like the way they kill people. I mean, you heard it, the one that happened in Kwara. I mean, were you not pained? Even though they were Muslims that they killed, but were you not pained? What I'm saying, even though they are Muslims, I mean that they claim to be Islamists themselves. And the people they killed, they slaughtered are Muslims because they did not let them preach their own version. It's painful. You hear somebody abducted this, abducted that. There's one doctor that was kidnapped the other day and his brother in Edo State. The brother tried to escape. They shot him. They killed him. These are the things we should bother ourselves with. I want stability. I want my children to be able to go out and come back in peace. My friend was going to preach in Biu, Pastor Courage. He left Maiduguri. Traveled for 2 days to get to a place where it normally takes 3 hours. Because he had to first come down to Yobe, travel through Yobe, and then go back to Borno. Why? Because the road that goes directly from Maiduguri to Biu, nobody passes it anymore. Those are the things that bother us. Let's just go straight there. Let's go straight there. Let's go straight there. You don't want a situation which people lynch a young girl on campus for saying nothing more than giving God the glory for helping her in her academics. And somebody showed his face on social media that I'm the one that set her on fire. And hundreds of lawyers came to defend that person in court. These are the things that should bother us. Now, let me just get back. I will just find a place where I was and get back there. So I was saying, God is transforming us in the midst of our afflictions, changing us. It's the base, that is the basis upon which he manifests our destiny. And whoever wants to enter into divine destiny should cooperate with what God is doing in his or her life. And should constantly take the word of God and transform himself and transform herself. Last time I was telling a story. Let me just quickly say it. I said we should open something. I'm not ready, right? Yes. We'll get back. We'll get there in a moment. I just realized there was a story I was telling last time. I won't take more than 2 minutes on that, just to finish it. That when I said we should avoid distractions, I was about to tell you a story about Kenneth Higgins' experience, vision, when I just went into something else. At the end of the day, I realized that, I didn't finish that story. So whoever is following will be able to catch what I was trying to say. I was saying that the Lord was teaching him how to handle demons in a vision. And suddenly a demon jumped in between them and began to make a lot of noise. He said the Lord kept on talking as if there was no problem. Until he panicked and commanded the demon to shut up and get out. And what the Lord said, he did not repeat. For decades, nothing less than 20 or maybe 30 years, he didn't get that thing. And it kept paining him that he didn't get that thing. Let's not sit much about it. I just want to finish that story. The point is that in your life, avoid distractions. When I analyzed it, that demon was on his side of, it. Let me use the word, eternal space. It was not on the side of the Lord. The demon wouldn't go near there. For him, he thought the Lord was in front of him, but if you know the way it is, even in physics, all right, advanced physics, we know time and space like that, they're kind of fickle, all right? You can't really hear. So the Lord may have been a million light years away. It doesn't matter. But you see him in front of you, it's very easy to collapse space for him. So in the realm, in the realms of the earth and the heavens, that spirit was definitely on the earth side. And the Lord was on the heavenly side. And the Lord let him know that it's your responsibility to tackle distractions on your side, not mine. Okay? So I just want you to finish that story.
So bear it in mind, tackle distractions. What God is saying to you, don't miss it. As I was saying something earlier also, spend more time listening to him than telling him things. Spend more time listening to him than telling him things. That's a mark of miracles in the lives of believers. But that's the key to it. That's the key to divine intervention. It's not how long you prayed. It's how long you listened. And how much you obeyed that which he said to you. It's not how long you prayed. God is not hard to persuade. Are you getting my point? The Lord is not hard to persuade. It's not how long you prayed, but how much you listened and how much you obeyed. And he said, be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. It was in that to us in Mark chapter 4. Let's just read that. I want to read that in the Amplified Bible. Mark chapter 4. I'll read from verse 23. And please, I'm going to quickly read it in the Amplified Bible. Mark chapter 4. If anyone has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. That's let him hear in summary. Now 24 is very important for us to say it, to read in the Amplified. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Now please, I want you to notice what he said. He said, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue, that is power and knowledge that comes to you. The understanding, the power of God to comprehend, the ability to interpret things, the ability to manifest the power of God is released according to the measure of thought and study. So thus says the Spirit again, I say to you, spend more time hearing what he is saying than telling him what you have to say. Please don't forget that. Spend more time hearing what he is saying than telling him what he has or what you have to say. It is not hard to persuade. He's not there trying not to answer you. Actually, he's eager. He's eager to do good to you. That's what the Bible says. He wants to do good, except that he doesn't break rules. He doesn't go against his principles. To him, righteousness is more important than mercy. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Righteousness is more important than love. Righteousness is more important than goodness. Before goodness, before mercy, before love is righteousness, which means he has to uphold his own standards of righteousness, which means he has to do what is right. The principle of mercy is not abstract forgiveness. Just forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. It doesn't work like that. The principle of forgiveness is that somebody paid, because every offense is a transactional thing. You have generated negative currency. You have generated a debt, that is D-E-B-T now. You know, somebody is owing in the realm of the spirit. Every disobedience, every offense generates negative equity. Are you getting my point? It does. So somebody has to pay. So God shows mercy based on the fact that Jesus went to the cross. And those who did not punish beforehand, it was because they believed in the sacrifice that would come. And they showed that faith by offering up sacrifices. Blood sacrifices, the blood of the lamb, the blood of bulls and goats. They could not take away sin. But at least they manifested that these people are waiting for the sacrifice, for the payment that God was going to show through Christ Jesus. What am I trying to say? So when God appears to be slow in hearing, it's not because he's slow in hearing. He's adjusting the situation, the circumstances around you, so that he can answer in righteousness. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
He's adjusting the situation and the circumstances around you so that he can answer in righteousness. So what you need to do is cooperate with him to maintain his righteousness. Are you getting my point? It's very important. You know, the Bible says there must be a demonstration of his righteousness. So when you are praying, there's a delay. Walk. Hear. When I say walk now, scripture, hearing, scripture, understanding, prayer, change me, quench and remove all defilement of flesh and spirit. Spirit can be defiled. You have to remove everything before God. He said, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. There's a kind of consecration you need to do in different areas of life. God helping me, I'll get there, talking about what it means again to be born again. You get born again, generally, you're as a person. You give your life to Christ. But you see, what's his name? Simon the Sorcerer. Even though he had given his life to Christ, even though he had been baptized, yet he was still in a gall of bitterness. Peter said, I perceive it, and the bondage of iniquity. Are you getting my point? Okay, so I've said many things. Let's now read what I said we should read at the beginning, right? Where does it you read? 1 Peter chapter 1. 2. Okay, I think it's verse 21. We're reading into chapter 3. Let me start this. If the Lord blesses it the way I'm thinking, that was what I was planning to teach today. Well, how many people know that I'm not my servant? I'm somebody else's servant. So whatever the Holy Spirit dictates, I've learned not to quench the Spirit. So if we can, we'll come back to it. And if all we have to say about it is what we'll say today, then fine. But let's read it. Peter said, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He's never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to shepherd, that is to shepherd, that's his name, the guardian of your souls. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, that is, even if it appears like suffering. I'm the one that added that last comment to. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody say something, you know, you stumble into things. One guy said, there's one part of the Bible I cannot agree with. I said, you see, like I say, that part of the Bible was not talking to you. If I tell my son, you must be back home by 7 p.m., what concerns your son? Are you getting my point? If you allow your son to go to nightclub, party till 2 a.m., and drive your car half drunk to come back home, he can't come and be telling my son, there's one part of that instruction I can never agree with. My son will say, oh boy, my father is not your father. And he was not talking to you. Please, so I'm going home. My life depends on it. So let me just leave. Let me leave this class by 6 o'clock. So I can get home by 6:45 in case there's a delay. It's for my own good. As for you and your Agboro papa, me and I manage myself for there. When I saw the guy agitated, talking, I can never put myself down because of one man. Marriage is not compulsory. Is it compulsory? I mean, did anybody force the Wookiee and Jidima to wear the same cloth this morning? Well, they could have decided to be separate and alone. One is living in Portugal. The other one is staying in Okunan, and they don't know each other. There will be peace. Would there be quarrel? If you see the vex, some people are demon possessed. This social media is allowing a lot of demonic expression. There are people that used to express their demons to themselves in their rooms. But now, when the demon wants to gyrate, they don't put ring lights. They call it feminism. Nothing but demon manifesting. They get the gyrate. I say, even me, preacher, preaching the word of God, I never gyrate this like this. The Lord is good. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if some refuse to obey the good news,
Your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. So don't be concerned about the outward beauty or fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within. Now, this is why I read all of this. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. My understanding of that, he called him Sir, all right? Except my Lord, but modern day we use the word Sir for that. And called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. Now, please, it will surprise you, I read all of this, that I'm not talking about marriage relationship at all. I read that verse for just one purpose. Of course, it's always beautiful to read the word of God, all right? But I just wanted to bring one thing out, verse 4. It says, you should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God, which is of great price, King James would say, in the sight of God. New American Standard says, he said, for in this way, you know, he said, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. I'm just looking for different translations to it. Let me use King James here. Very beautiful. He said, verse 3 says, whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Now, that's it. I wanted the word, that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. I wanted that word, that expression, of great price. Now, let me just quickly explain this, so that there will be no confusion as to the meaning. When I was a young Christian, you know, I look back now, I see some people didn't read the Bible, Sha. That they didn't read it carefully. They just looked for laws and all of that. They said plaiting of hair was wrong. Some of you don't believe it was said at the time. Whoever heard it? You did? They were still saying it when you were born, didn't okay. Joseph, I thought they had stopped saying it when people like you began to notice hair. Okay. Okay, I'm happy you knew about it. And this scripture was used. That the Bible says, you should not braid your hair. What are you doing braiding your hair? You are saying God did not make you enough. You see, they want to make up. Which means God did not make them well enough. They want to make up. I said, bro, why do you dress up? You see, God did not make you enough. He said to dress up. Come wearing your normal suit with which you were born. Whether we know, we'll go lock you for one side of that new heaven there. Nonsense. I hear some of those doctrines. I just say, brethren, you see, that's what happens when you have the spirit of legalism. You want to distill laws and all of that out of the place. He said, no. He said, not wearing gold jewelry. Gold is not good for a Christian to wear. Can you say gold is not good? But it was said. But of course, that was not what Peter was saying. He said, how do you adorn yourself? Some people do plastic surgery. Either to enlarge their lips. Africans generally don't do that. We're blessed naturally with lips. It's whether I took plenty, that might be our issue. It's that we don't have... So you see, you don't know some people's problem. Go and say, some people, white people, it's as if they took scissors and leveled this place. And human beings like what they don't have. They like it too. But thank God, because white man, a white woman, not man this time, likes what they don't have, we Africans became proud of it. And I said, the person is beautiful. She has full lips. Say, ah, okay, you know, I'm not for that. Yeah. Then the nose has to be this way. And you know, so people have died trying to adorn themselves externally. Even in this, our country, a first lady died trying to adorn herself externally. They die every time. Do you know, people use all kinds, I don't want to spend time on it, okay? But people put their lives at risk. And cosmetic surgery, all right? That's cosmetic surgery now. Is a massive market in some countries. Americans leave America to go to where they can afford. They go to Southeast Asia, they go to Mexico, they go to South America, they go to India. Because in America, it's very expensive. There's a difference between plastic surgery and cosmetic. Cosmetic surgery is a form of plastic surgery. But the plastic surgeon has to fix things. All right? People are born with cleft lips, they are born, they have deformities, and then they have burns, you know, they have accidents, they have to correct things in people. That's general plastic surgery. But cosmetic surgery, if you say, I don't like my nose, give me another nose. So I can sing, you want to be starting something. That's what they call external adorning. Now, let me say something to you. I saw some videos and I told myself, one day my wife went somewhere, I think she went to do her hair, and one girl came to pierce her nose. No, that girl was blessed that day. Do you know why? All the older women gathered. My wife being one of them. They looked like, what are you trying to do? They said, wait. Say, this is your fine face. You want to put extra hole? They first told her how fine she was and explained to her she didn't need this. In fact, the person who won't do the job said, now these people don't support my market for today. The girl didn't do it again. She took counsel from them. I hope she doesn't go back to her friends who led her in the first place because she'll be back tomorrow. And it was an unnecessary thing. Now, what I want to say is not scripture, just personal. Or even though I have the spirit of God, but it's just personal. I hate tattoos. I have a personal dislike for them. And I can assure you, God does not have tattoos. All right? Okay? He doesn't have. He can't have. All right? The only tattoos Jesus have is your sin. Your iniquity as he paid. Which is not tattoo, it's holes. It's not tattoo, it's holes. The only marks on his body. The marks, Paul had marks. But was not cosmetic mark. He did not put Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 there. He didn't see Colossians chapter 4 verse 17, say to Archippus. He didn't put it there. Now, Bulala, God will bless you. He preached the gospel. They whipped him 39 lashes. And that time, they grabbed him again, 39 lashes. And those things, you know when you flog your children? See all these my children now? All of them were appropriately flogged. Yeah, there's no mark on their body. Any mark you find on their body, na then cause them. When the victor decided to carry his head and be walking like this, he ran into iron. I mean, that's the kind of that. But the flogging is just to, it's just factory reset. That's all. Just to put things in order. He heals completely. But the one that the Romans did to people like Paul, it was designed not to heal. It was designed to tear the flesh and let somebody know this guy was whipped. That's the mark he has. So that's why I said, look, enough of quarrel. Nobody should trouble me again. I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus Christ. So Jesus don't mark me. It was not be tattoo. He told them to whip me. They gave it to me, tore the skin off my flesh. He healed with scars everywhere. I told one day I met a Fulani man who got converted, who ran away from the north to the south. When I saw him holding the Bible, I told the story many times. He came to beg us for money. So later when I saw him holding the book, I said, what is that in your hand? He smiled. This is my weapon. Now people say maybe, no, I didn't believe it was fake because he didn't brandish that Christianity to beg. He told us his problem. Please, my wife and children are in quote, detention. I promise them I will pay them when we get here. So give him the money. I saw him holding the Bible. I said, what is that in your hand? He said, it's my weapon. That's a Bible now. He said, yes. Then he started telling his story. We didn't ask him. We had given him money, was going. I was the one that asked him, what is that you are holding? Why am I telling the story? He removed his back. Sorry, he removed his shirt for us to see his back. Of how he had been beaten. They were going to kill him. People advised him, go to the south. They don't persecute Christians there. He just arrived that night. That's the kind of tattoo Paul had. He was beaten for the Lord. No one would don't chop, would don't belly full. Now we'll go say, write Jesus on my body. That's not how Jesus is written. That one I chop, you know, like you're full. If you want to write Jesus on your body, go to Pakistan and preach on the street. They will write Jesus on your body. They will write it on your body. I'm telling you. You don't have to go to Pakistan. There are parts of Kano you go to. There are places in Zamfara. They will do it for you. Free of charge. This one that you are paying, they are doing using machine. Now, literal iron. You would think, say, you'd be cow. Did that. The Lord is good.
All the time.
All the time they say. So, when Peter, I'm just going to explain that scripture. Why I told the story about cosmetics and all of that is that a lot of people who do those things, listen to this, it's a sign of emptiness. It's a sign of the desire to be accepted. Yes. Now, if Jesus has blessed you, you don't know what you are. Let me be like this. You don't know how blessed you are. Some of you have never gone near where they sell Nkuru Miri in Enugu. You don't even know the place. I met a man once. He came to when we were medical students. He was an admission in our psychiatric ward. What is the issue? He came by himself to be cured of his addiction to drugs. He wasn't sick. He just wanted to get off the drugs. He was trafficking the drugs. So along the line, he got addicted to using it. He wasn't a user, but he got into it. Now, where I'm going is that our guys, young guys, were talking with him. He said he arrived on Friday and they found that the clinic had closed, so he couldn't get admitted. So he had to wait till Monday. So he checked into a hotel, and that night he went to buy enough drugs to last for the weekend. So my guy, one of my classmates, I asked him, he said, how did you know where they sell? I said, like, leave that thing. That's where I'm going. Like, leave that thing. He had never been to Benin, really. You know, like, maybe he has traveled past in buses and all, but to come to the city. But you came that day, you found where they were selling. He's like, leave that thing. It's because you don't use. If you use, within an hour, any city in the world, you know where they sell. I spent 6 years in that Benin as a medical student. I started traveling there again and again. I married my wife there. I go there alone. My in-laws live there. I don't even know where they sell Igbo. You know Igbo? Common Igbo that's on every street corner. I don't know where they sell it. Yeah, this guy came. I think it was cocaine or heroin. He knew where to find it in a few hours. When the Bible says, deep calls unto deep. That is not just scripture. People they call. Where I'm going is that when Jesus has delivered you, you can't smell it. You don't desire it. You live in Enugu for 30 years. You don't know where they sell Igbo. You don't know where they sell anything. Brethren, it's not normal. It's Jesus. He delivers people. He gives you something that makes you sad. You wake up in the morning, you don't desire anything apart from him. You kneel at the foot of your bed. You just want to give thanks. See, many of the problems we have in this life, you know what happens? Somebody told you. Left to you and God, you are okay. But someone will come and remind you of your age and what you have not yet done. That's why Jesus asked Adam, who told you you were naked? Nobody decides they are naked on their own. He says, somebody must have told you. Boy, come. Who told you you were naked? How could you even hear such a voice? You must have eaten what I told you not to eat. Because the only connection, the tuning to that frequency is from disobedience. If you are not disobeying God, Satan can't talk to you. Be giving you suggestions and then you are naked? No. He can only tell you, come, come, come. But to be controlling your life with his words, you must have eaten something. What am I trying to say? Jesus satisfies. Is the reason you think it's normal? Is the reason why your nose does not bother you? It's not because your nose is fine. Only your wife thinks it's fine. It doesn't bother you because he satisfies. That's why. You look in the mirror every day, you see nothing wrong with your face. Something's wrong with it. But Jesus satisfies. He said they looked to him and they were lightened. And their faces were no longer ashamed. They saw nothing wrong with it. There are many healthy people that say, am I fat? You are healthy. You are well. You're beautiful. There's somebody who will cut his hand for you just to greet him. Yet you are taking Ozempic because somebody told you you're naked. That's what Peter was addressing here. See, where did we get our sense of fulfillment from? He was telling the women, please, not this taking time out to do elaborate. He was not saying, don't do your hair. There are some things he said are appropriate. Paul said it. There's a way a woman appears and it's appropriate. Do you follow my point? Personally, no, this is personal. This is just me, Banky. Eh? If you like, I can disagree. I love decent makeup. I love jewelry. That one, they even they wear for ankle. You know, Gobili say I like them. I do. See, why not for Kine? You know Jigida? I love Jigida. Waist beads. Oh my God, I like that thing. Especially when they use to dance. I love waist beads. I love waist beads. I do. I don't see anything wrong with those things. Why are they laughing? It shocked you. What I'm saying is that, see, but however, that's not what makes a woman really beautiful. That's what Paul was saying. And Peter was saying, don't kill yourself to buy gold. If you're, see, you're living with a man, your husband. No, let me tell you, I've been married for some years, you know. I senior Joseph did okay very well. I had had my last child before I went to his wife's village. You understand my point? Why am I even using that one? It's as if that one is to be compared. How many years you don't marry? I'm even talking to you. Wait. People that should be oppressing is people like Tor Reverend. At least that one now I can say is it 20 years or 18 years? 19. Why am I even talking to you? Why am I talking to you? Me and you not in the same category at all. Let me talk to people like that. I cannot be a person, Reverend Yinkasi, I sit and wear 7 good years. Oh, God. You should be coming to my house in the morning, say, good morning, sir, to this lesson. Last December was my 26th anniversary, you all know, all right? And I can assure you, no matter how much you make your face, no matter how much you do your hair, eh? If your mouth is bad, your husband doesn't find you attractive. People don't know you are the ones that are impressed with your koi koi high heels and with your eyelashes. The guy doesn't know. What a man knows, all right, is how you behave. See, the appearance can be, you know, there are times my wife said that she added weight. I said, So my clothes don't fit again. Eh, they don't. I don't notice. But if you develop one new bad character, on this spot, I don't pick them. I go, I said, like one who told you anything? You must have eaten. I mean, please, I'm not emphasizing. That's what Peter was saying. That's what Peter was saying. He wasn't saying women shouldn't. We made laws out of it. Don't wear this. Don't wear that. Don't wear this. No, that was not what he was. He was just saying that it's good for a woman to look nice. So, however, your real adornment is within.
Now, my message, that's not my message. I'll just introduce and then we'll go. What he was now saying is that, he said, if you see that one, in the eyes of God, that's the real pearl of great price. That's the real ornament of great price. That's the real chain of great price. That is the real makeup of great price. That the thing that has great price in the eyes of God is a character that comes from the inward man of the heart. That how beautiful is your speech? How beautiful are your thoughts? How beautiful are your words when you are submitting to your husband, even though it looks uncomfortable? How, you see, that is where the beauty is. One prominent Nigerian the other day, musician. He divorced his first wife or decided to marry the second wife. Whether he divorced the first wife or acquired the second wife, I can't remember. I don't know. But it was one thing he said that one of my colleagues in the office was giving me a lift one day when his car, I think he was playing the man's music, just go went into that. And I said, okay, this man said for the first time he's experiencing love. In fact, that day he said, wow, that he didn't know. When I explained, I said, forget that thing. He married that woman for how many years? It's not close to 20 years. Those of you who know. It's the first time he's experiencing love. I said, you don't understand. You're a man. After a while, you understand. When you're young, he married his wife when she was, when they were both quite pretty young. And so love was, you know, love wanting thing, you know, just, you know, that kind of, anything, you know. So when they get the waka, they shake with like this, the hair go, they swell. Yes, fine. Then as he's living over time, the real substance of life starts to show. Then he now married another woman when he and that one had issues. And that one showed him honor and respect from the depth of her heart. For a number of reasons, he was a well-to-do man. He's a star. She has been listening to his music since he was young. What an honor and privilege to now be married to this man. So she's awed by his, I don't know her, I don't know her character and all of that, but all of these things manifest. And for a man, that's how he interprets love. It's the reason why he said for the first time he's experiencing love. I told the guy, forget that. It's just that now he's seeing what the soul of a man calls love. Yes. So his soul is responding. So don't, he's experiencing love. I said, she's not doing anything nicer to him now, otherwise, that this I've said, than the other wife did. She, if you go and check, you'll be shocked that that other girl is far more beautiful in your eyes than this one. That's the older one. You'll be shocked that she's, in your own eyes, far more, and you're wondering, what is going on here? That's what Peter was explaining. He didn't say, get away from jewelry, the way we now turned it to jewelry, get away from jewelry. No, he didn't say that. He did not say, don't make your hair, please. There was one woman when I was in Lagos, I tell my wife to say once in a while. Yeah, I never see a woman who could make you hate pregnancy like that. Her hair go down, you know what they call dew? She was a doctor. You know what they do? Is it undergrowth? You don't go wash her, you go tie the thing anyhow. Are you the first to get belly? This belly get old now. You are legally married. Should not wear one useless short skirt that's oversized. Short skirt is not supposed to be oversized. Then she wear the husband's shirt. How do I know it's the husband's shirt? Because she go roll and roll and roll and roll, like it go reach her wrist. No matter when you roll shirt, it go roll this one, it go reach her wrist. She was not a tall lady. In fact, she was a bit on the short side. Should now wear flat, hyper flat slippers on that one, a slip on. Can they walk around loose like this? Man of God, you know what I was thinking? How you take Gary's belly? Because you are not attractive at all. Maybe. He was not seen. Okay, Rachel. Leah. He drank after party. So your wife did there. I said, can you just make somebody hate pregnancy? Because you get belly. Now you just disgrace womanhood like this. It's not good.
Tell any young woman beside you it's not good. Say pregnancy is not an affliction. Pregnancy is not an affliction. One day, you know, I think it was Akindu that time, was Igbenga. I think it was Akindu. My wife was with her mom. I used to go, when she delivered, she would go and stay with her mom. Instead of my mother coming to do Omugo, she used to do reverse Omugo, stay with her mother. So I used to go travel often to go and stay, see her. So one day I got, entered the room. Ah! I said, sweetheart, what's going on? You know, her hair was just freshly permed, well set. She was wearing a nice, listen, she was breastfeeding. Ah! I said, what's going on? He said, no, I'm waiting for my husband. I said, oh God. Oh God. The name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. She was looking nice. She had her makeup on. She had had a bath, had her makeup on. But she was, because she knew I was going to arrive. He said, no, that she really went and did her hair because her husband is coming. Because the bride has made herself ready. Is that not in your Bible? Please, it's good for a woman to look nice. That's what I'm saying. However, that's not the main attraction. What is, like, this is just a small aside. The main thing we are looking at is that, what is the pearl of great price? What's the ornament of what? Great price. Please, let's leave that issue now. Finish with that. Some things are of great price in the eyes of God. That's why I read all of that. And one of the marks of Christianity, I won't read other scriptures now. I wanted to, next time we'll start again from there. One of the marks of Christianity is that you learn the things that are of high esteem, great price in the eyes of God. Are you getting my point? Let me give you an example now. So you see a Christian woman who wants to invest money to look like another woman. You know she doesn't know what's of great price. You want to go and do BBL. You don't know what's of great price. You just don't know. You're not deformed in any way. What are you doing with plastic surgery? Just because you want to look like somebody else. See, what you value will show in what you commit to it. Are you getting my point? There are churches that they spend so much energy on the facade, the outside. What it looks like. Go inside there, you can't hear one sound word. They don't know what's of high value in the eyes of God. Let me drop this one, I'll close with it. Even when we're making decisions concerning our children, we want to locate ourselves and all of that. Sometimes I ask people. When the one brother told me that he's traveling to another country, I said, it's good though, good. So we just talked. All right. No, I didn't say good, I just asked questions. So I just asked a simple question. I said, what about your children? He said to me, that's the problem. I said, what do you mean by the problem? They realize the challenges of raising children in that environment. So what are you planning to do about it? He said, that's the problem they have not yet solved. And next thing I knew, he went there. I said, excuse me, I don't understand. You just told me this is a problem. And you didn't solve it. I'm saying some things there. Please, let's get... Sometimes we Christians, we parents, I need to say this. See, sometimes you don't want to get controversial, but I have to keep saying this. Many of you listening to me, your children are growing. And God has blessed you with money. Or he will bless you with money. Plenty of it. You can send your children to go to school anywhere. But just check the things that are of great price in the eyes of God. Should I tell you the truth? Whether you get your first degree in engineering from Harvard or you get it from UNM, by the time you do the second degree, everything has balanced out. I teach, my classmates, a lot of them are lecturers abroad. All right? A lot of them. I told my brother, who's one of my local people, he's a professor of law in one of America's very good law schools. Okay? We all got our degrees in Benin here. Yeah. So where I'm going is that I don't even understand what the craze is about. He said, there will be no strike. I keep on saying, you know, there was a time my children were supposed to enter university. There was some issue. So I went and met one of my big profs, our former provost, a reverend gentleman, an ordained minister. He told me something. He said, look, Dr. Lushino, your children are young. Do you understand? Basically, what he's saying is that, what is all of the, can you call? I said, should I take the private university? He said, do you have money from somewhere I'm not aware about? I'm not aware of. He said, let them relax. We'll take care of them. It was a word he used. He said, they are young. So, I mean, really, they were young. You're talking to people who were 16. They're about. So what is all this noise you are making? Relax. When I go back home, I told my wife, he said, well, Alpha, I said, I heard the word of a prophet. I said, I think it's a prophetic word. Let me believe, listen. And of course, who are they talking about now? They are all, they are both of them are in 300 level now. That's third year in university. The next one is in second year. What are we talking about? Where am I going to, they say, hey, did they strike? My wife graduated 1 year later than she should because of the same strike. Are you aware of it today? Are you, until I told you now, did you know? Where is Izu? Our neurosurgeon, normally sits in the other hall. He was delayed in school by a year or two because of this strike. He's a neurosurgeon today. Are you aware of it? That you're not aware. You know, sometimes when people make some things big deals, you wonder that, excuse me, who told you were naked? Did you eat something you were not supposed to eat? So what is this stress about? I say, value other things. The other day, I was yapping my little boy, Victory. I said, this boy, he be like, all people do in that school is go to church. I have meeting. Which meeting again? That, you know, I'm in the exco. Which exco? It's your first year in university. Okay, second year, you don't enter exco. He said, no, each level has exco. I'm secretary for this. That is the problem I'm having. Do you get what I'm saying? Because each time you go like that, now me, they spend the money. Do you follow my point? Like you said, that's a good problem. It's not really a problem, you understand? It's we are going to church. I'm the outreach secretary. I am this. Those are the kind of things we have. The other time, my daughter said, she wants to come. Moses Bliss is doing concert here. So forced me to sit down in this place. I just sat down here. Because it will end late. I have to carry her back home. That was the problem I had, going to a Christian concert. And the guy kept on shouting, whatever you are receiving this life, if you don't know Jesus, you don't die. Oh, it's not worth anything. Oh. My wife, we jumped out from the car, started running with them, running all over the field. That's everybody was dancing. But me, I'm a man of God. I can't do that kind of thing. For me, it's of great price. Freedom to worship is of great price. Let me end my message there. We'll talk about it next time, if God allows us. That's what I want to preach today, but let's say we'll get there next time. What do you, because these are the characters of human beings. How do you value things in life? You have to be careful to put right values on things. Don't highly esteem. That's why I was talking about that one. What is the problem with the shape of your nose? You're a woman, a Christian woman. Say, please, my message is not for unbelievers, okay? It's not for unbelievers. A Christian woman. Your husband is God ordained, not nose ordained, not beauty ordained, not chance ordained. You ask God, send him. Do you follow my point? You may look your worst the day you meet him for the first time. It's very possible. After all, when it comes to Rebecca, please, he said, the servant of Abraham said, the ones you have chosen for my master, this is how I want to know. Let it be somebody who will be kind to us when she comes. Are you getting my point? The wife, I found out, somebody pointed out to us some time ago, the wife that Jacob said was, by the way, it's Jacob that didn't think she was fine. That did not think she was fine. You understand? Leah. It was Jacob's problem. That was the person that gave birth to Jesus Christ eventually. Yes. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Please, let's bear these things in mind. Let's know how we prize things. Sometimes Christians take pride in things I don't understand. And they know the risk associated. One day, one brother told me something. I don't know. The way this thing is going wrong, I don't know why people are doing it. Then he did it. Now, look here, bro. You were the one that told me this is where things go wrong. Then you did the same thing. Let me end the message here. We'll talk about it next time. But just bear in mind, this is the message I wanted to bring today. Each thing in life, know how you prize it. How you prize people, that esteem people. How you esteem situations. How you esteem opportunities. How you esteem material things. How you esteem, even in ministry, how do you esteem things that you call marks of success in your ministry? Those are the things you have to be careful about, because they are the manifestations of your character. They determine your character. Not only are they the manifestations, they determine your character. Let's bow down our heads. Let's just thank God for the word we have heard today. Let's just thank the Lord. Say, Father, thank you for this word. Thank you. Thank you for this word. Thank you. Thank you for the word. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Just pray one short prayer. We're out of time. Say, dear Father, teach me the things that are valuable. Teach me the value of things so that I don't make important decisions on empty things. So that things that are precious, like a birthright, I don't sell it for a morsel of meat. I don't sell the ministry for comfort. It's very important. Lord, I don't want to sell my ministry for comfort. Please, I want you to pray that for at least 30 seconds. Please, I want you to pray that. Lord, I don't want to sell my ministry for comfort.